Hey there, and welcome to a new episode of the Liberators Network podcast. I am Christian Verwijs, and in this episode we're going to talk about a new and improved version of the Zombie Scrum Survey, a free tool that we made available so that Scrum teams can see how they're doing. But before diving into the meat of this episode, there are five new patrons we want to welcome to our community. Rich Campbell, Derek Melitz, Vera Reudel, Dilmer Amador and Ben Maslin, thank you for supporting us and for making this content possible. If you also like what we do, please consider becoming a patron as well. Patrons have early access to all our material, and we frequently engage with them to get feedback on new material that we're working on. I'll put a link in the show notes if you're interested. In the summer of 2019, we launched the Zombie Scrum Survey. You can find it at https://survey.zombiescrum.org. This free online survey is a way to give Scrum teams all over the world a way to see how they're doing, and to stop the spread of Zombie Scrum. Even though the metaphor of Zombie Scrum is admittedly tongue-in-cheek, we designed the survey as a reliable and robust way to help Scrum teams reflect and improve. Since that start in 2019, over 2,000 teams and 2,600 individuals have participated. With so much data, we want to deliver on our second promise: to better understand what makes Scrum teams more or less effective and use those insights to improve the survey. In this episode, we share how we improved the Zombie Scrum survey based on the data we collected, and we also share preliminary findings. If you haven't already done so, we highly recommend giving the survey a try at survey.zombiescrum.org. It doesn't cost you anything, it doesn't require an account, and it takes about 10 to 12 minutes to complete. Afterward, you receive detailed feedback based on how your team is faring compared to other Scrum teams, and we offer suggestions on what you can do to improve. After completing the survey once, you can invite your entire team to anonymously participate as well, and see if you all feel the same way. Our findings in a nutshell. Based on the data we've collected to date, we've run detailed statistical analyses to better understand the process of Scrum teams. We will capture our findings in more detail in an upcoming post and are working on a peer-reviewed scientific publication. But here are some preliminary patterns we found. The first one is that when Scrum teams release to production during or soon after a sprint, they deliver more value and have more satisfied stakeholders. The second is that when Scrum teams focus on value, more value is being delivered by them, their stakeholders are more satisfied, and team morale goes up. And by focus on value in this case, we mean that they have a product owner who keeps focus on what's important and closely involves stakeholders in the process of developing the product. The third pattern is that the ability of teams to focus on value and to release frequently goes up as teams become more cross-functional, spend more time on refinement, and use their sprint reviews purposefully to gather feedback from stakeholders. Another pattern we found is that management support is vital to the success of Scrum teams. This is probably no surprise, but as support goes up, Scrum teams are more able to focus on value, to release frequently, and to become cross-functional, which are all enablers of effective Scrum teams. And finally, these patterns generalize across teams of different ages, different sizes, as well as organizations of different sizes and ages. It's good to know that with the topics that we're currently measuring in the survey, we can explain 52% of the variance in stakeholder happiness, 44% of the variance in team value, and 48% of the variance in team morale. This basically means that we can predict the scores on the outcomes solely based on everything else we measure with quite some certainty. Ranges from 44 to 52% are quite high, as values beyond 20% are generally considered strong in the social sciences for this kind of cross-sectional research. Now, how does this actually help Scrum teams? With the model behind our survey, we can develop a better understanding of what makes Scrum teams successful or not. In this case, we define success as happy stakeholders, more value delivered every sprint, and higher team morale. Our model gives direction to Scrum teams and organizations as to what to put effort into. Our data tells us clearly that Scrum teams require two parallel processes. They need to release frequently to stakeholders, and they need a product owner who keeps them focused on what is valuable to stakeholders. Although you could do one independently of the other, effective Scrum requires both. Our model suggests that when Scrum teams want to support their product owner in focusing on stakeholder value, they should primarily invest in cross-functionality, in refinement, the quality of sprint reviews, and making stakeholder collaboration a shared responsibility of the entire Scrum team. When teams want to ship faster, our model suggests to primarily invest in cross-functionality and refinement again, and also in release automation. Furthermore, our model shows how important the role of management is. Stakeholders are less satisfied, less value is delivered, and team morale is markedly lower when management hardly interacts with Scrum teams, when they don't help with the removal of impediments, and when they don't understand why Scrum teams work with Scrum in the first place. Our model also shows that some things don't matter. Scrum teams can thrive in organizations of any size and age. Although the experience with Scrum does have a positive influence, the age of teams themselves does not matter. None of these findings are earth-shattering in their novelty. For many in the industry and our community, it will be no surprise that cross-functionality is critical to the success of Scrum teams. What is novel, however, is that we now have more objective data to support or reject our claims and opinions about what matters, and that's ultimately why we're building this survey. Improvements to the Zombie Scrum Survey. Now that we have data and we have a model, we can start refining the Zombie Scrum Survey by keeping what is valuable and creatively destroying what isn't. This allows us to improve the reliability of the measurements, the relevance of the feedback, and the value it holds for Scrum teams. So with this in mind, we've made the following changes and improvements. The first is that we removed about 50 items, which is about 60% of the total questionnaire, that didn't statistically contribute to the model behind the Zombie Scrum Survey. Now that seems like a lot, but some of these items overlapped so strongly with other items that they basically measured the same thing, while other items didn't correlate with anything at all, and yet other items were just too open to different interpretations. Another improvement is that by removing many items, we effectively dropped a number of topics: Scrum effectiveness, celebration, team composition, motivation for Scrum, and team learning. For one reason or another, the items we used to measure these were not good, and we had to drop the skills and topics altogether. Another improvement is that for some topics, like sprint goals, quality, and autonomy, we found that the original questions didn't work as well as we'd like. So in the updated version, we've replaced these questions with new ones, often deriving from existing scientific instruments. A fourth thing that we noticed, and this is actually quite an interesting finding, is that psychological safety and cross-functionality were indistinguishable in the data. In nearly all cases, we could predict the scores on one topic based on the scores on the other. We don't know exactly why this happens, why this overlap exists, and we may need better ways to measure both, or perhaps people stick to their own skill sets in teams with low safety, whereas people in teams with high safety simply find ways to help each other regardless of their skills. This fact is finding about psychological safety and cross-functionality overlapping so strongly is something we'd like to explore in the future. Another improvement that we made was to include more topics that make sense from a theoretical perspective. We added cross-team collaboration, continuous learning, sprint retrospective quality, metric usage, and inquiry and dialogue. When more teams have participated in the updated survey and we have more data, we can see how these factors influence the model and if they indeed expand the explanatory power and if they help us explain more about what's happening. And finally, in an effort to boost the reliability of the measurements that we have in the model, we added new questions to topics that only had a few items. This included refinement, stakeholder collaboration, and release frequency. More detailed improvements, refactors, and adjustments are available in the changelog. The link for this will be in the show notes. What's the impact on existing profiles? We've updated the profiles that are created for your team that you receive at the end of the survey. New topics are now included, and the feedback that you receive is based on the findings from our research. We also retroactively updated profiles that were created earlier. Although we considered versioning, we also wanted all current and former participants to benefit from the improvements that we're making. Since former participants haven't entered scores for the new topics, some will be missing from the profiles, but teams can easily redo the Zombie Scrum survey to receive an updated profile. The road from here. In the coming months, we will continue to gather data and analyze the model. Because this process itself is inherently empirical, the survey will change as new topics are added, existing ones are revised, and more feedback is added. Here are also some of the ideas we have. The first is that we want to support teams that want to analyze trends over time, so at some point it should be possible to create snapshots and then compare how things are changing over time. We also want to offer more directed recommendations on specific interventions and exercises to try based on the results. Afterward, we'd like to measure how well these recommendations worked out so that we can empirically update the recommendations for other teams. In a sense, we're going to use data to tune and fine-tune the recommendations that we're giving. Another improvement that we'd like to make is that right now, team scores are compared against a sample of all other teams. And we would like to give teams the flexibility to select a specific sector, region, team size, or another characteristic to base the comparison on. So instead of being compared to everyone else, you can select who you'd like to be compared to. And finally, right now, what we measure is based on self-reporting by teams. Even though we tried very hard to objectify the questions, we want to include more objective measures too. For example, we would like to measure stakeholder satisfaction by actually asking your stakeholders how happy they are. But the same goes for team value and for management support. Why are we doing this? Too often, we feel conversations about the do's and don'ts for Scrum are based more on opinions, personal preferences, and biases than on objective data. This applies to our writing as well. Rather than using empirical evidence about what works, recommendations are too often based on well-intended advice from thought leaders, experts, and gurus. And although their advice may be right, it can also be wrong. We feel that Scrum teams are better off when they have access to data-driven recommendations that are based on how Scrum teams all over the world are working with Scrum and what is working for them. And with that, we've come to the end of today's episode. This episode was all about the Zombie Scrum survey and the preliminary findings of our research to date. If you haven't tried the survey before, please give it a try. It's free, doesn't cost you anything but some time, and you get some useful feedback at the end. Now, if you have feedback for us based on your experience with the survey or you have ideas for how to make better use of it, please let us know. We're always eager to learn from you about how you're using it and what might make it even more valuable for you. Having said all that, I want to thank you for listening, and next week we'll take on another topic in our podcast, and I hope to see you then. Have a great day. Take care.